The FT.
This is John Aglinby, one of the editors on the World News Desk, talking with Michael Peel, our Middle East correspondent in Cairo. Michael, you've been on the streets of Cairo all day today. Can you give us a flavour of what you've seen on the streets as people have protested against the regime of President Hosni Mubarak?
Well, it's been an extraordinary day of pitched battles between demonstrators and the police all over the city and indeed in other places around Egypt. I went to the Istiqamah Mosque for lunchtime prayers, and Mohamed El Baradei, the Nobel laureate and opposition politician, went there for the prayers. And immediately the prayers had finished, the crowd rose and started to chant and face down the police lines. Police responded with water cannon and tear gas, and it turned into a 3.5-hour siege, really, with the police is firing tear gas incessantly, demonstrators scattering into nearby streets, falling back, but then immediately regrouping and pushing on ahead. People clustered in stairwells, some people being carried out, so semi-conscious from the fray, and all sorts of debris being thrown around, and this continued for, as I say, more than 3 hours until suddenly the police fell back for reasons that weren't quite clear, and the demonstrators just walked on past them. Some were applauding the police, even kissing them in recognition for their decision to fall back, but then protests continued elsewhere. Demonstrators moved on. We went later after that to a bridge very near Tahrir Square, where, of course, the big demonstrations on Tuesday happened that really kicked off these unprecedented protests. And there was another barrage of tear gas as demonstrators tried to push on. They'd occupied a couple of security force vehicles, and then suddenly, just before 6, there was the announcement that for curfew at 6 o'clock, and yet with still many people left out on the streets, and it being not at all clear what was going to happen with an order for the army to be deployed. And so the situation at the moment is one of utter chaos, and of course it's very hard to get a picture of in full of what's going on, because the government has in communication terms done all it can to try to close the country down today. Mobile phones haven't worked since mid-morning. The internet hasn't worked since early morning. So it's been a day in which everyone has been trying to piece together fragments of information from the TV, from word of mouth, and any other sources they can find.
I mean, from what you can gather, how close are we to a tipping point, and how desperate is the government, or can it still ride this out for some time, do you think?
Well, I think what's interesting is that even Egyptians and very experienced Egypt watchers say that they just don't know. This has never been seen before under President Hosni Mubarak, who's coming up to 30 years in power. And so at the moment, nobody is making any predictions about which way this will lead. I mean, clearly the example of Tunisia has been a very powerful one here, and many people cite it, and, you know, the chant, the things like Mubarak, a plane is waiting for you, in a reference to President Ben Ali being forced out of the country into exile in Saudi Arabia a few weeks ago. Even a week ago, a few people foresaw that in Egypt, and certainly no one is predicting it now. But I think what has happened today, as one demonstrator put it to me, has never happened before. This is different. Everyone knows that now, he said, and something has to give. Now, what that something is really still the big question.
I mean, Mubarak is one of the key US allies in the region. How susceptible do you think he is to foreign pressure? Or do you think, I mean, none of the big Western powers want to be backing the wrong horse here, but do you think that if they continue to support him, that could make a difference? Or,
well, there's hardly been a history of tough talking by Western powers to Mr. Mubarak, and I think people who know the country well think that although the U.S. obviously has some leverage to press due to the political support it gives and particularly the financial, significant financial support to the military here, that there probably are limits to the kind of influence it has. And equally, that relationship cuts the other way because Egypt is such an important U.S. Ally in the region that Washington does not want chaos there. And Mr. Mubarak, has played for a long time on his images and autocrat who keeps firm control of a country at the heart of the Middle East, and presumably that is an argument that he may well decide to continue to make. But I think what's also interesting is the street attitude to the United States here, because today, for example, I saw protesters brandishing U.S.-made CS gas equipment, a canister and a muzzle used in the launches, saying, this is American made. People very angry about that, and identifying very closely the U.S. with Mr. Mubarak, which is obviously a great problem in terms of the popular image and popular feeling, popular approach to the U.S. in this region.
Michael, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, John.
For more downloads, go to ft.com/podcasts.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The latest episode of the Next 5 podcast is all about health prevention and vaccines. I speak to Kate Hashey at GSK.
For every dollar invested in improving health, there's an economic return of $2 to $4.
Murray Aitken at IQVIA Institute for Human Data Science.
The benefits of adult vaccination are compelling.
And David Sinclair at the International Longevity Centre.
Preventable conditions amongst those aged 50 to 64 in the UK cost $27 billion a year.
Listen to the full episode of the Next 5 wherever you get your podcasts.